Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Friday and good morning. Welcome to 95.7 The Game. To my left, Lorenzo Neal and Dan Dibley. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. Wow is all I can say about today's show, people. Wow. First of all, the guest list is loaded. Brother of the great Rocket Ishmael, the missile, Quadri Ishmael, set to join us in 30 minutes. What's the latest in Baltimore? Because the Ravens signed a quarterback, as we talked about yesterday, but it wasn't the one we were expecting. Dontrell Willis at 7:30, Ross Tucker at 8:05, the voice of the 49ers, Ted Robinson at 8:30, Mark Schlereth at 9:05, and Susan Slusser from the East Coast, or I believe Minnesota, is it?
They're back home.
She's against traveling
Minnesota.
Back. Okay, I got to get that cleared up, but she's traveling back. She'll be up at 9:30. Now, in addition to that, we've got a pair of tickets for the Bay Bridge Series, Monday's game in Oakland. We'll be giving that away at 7:25, and then there's another pair to give away at 8:25. So mark that down. At 7 o'clock, we've got $1,000 to give away. Mark that down. At 8 o'clock, we got $1,000 to give away. And other tickets to the Ellie Mae Classic at 8:45. I mean, damn. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa. We're just giving away everything today. So we've got all that, and we've got several massive stories we've got to get into, one of which just broke regarding your Oakland Raiders. So what we're going to do before all that is throw it over to my man Dibs with your update.
And a lot going on, Joe, with the headline story being JaVale McGee, who's going to stay. The band, indeed, will be completely back together for the Warriors. Chris Haynes at ESPN, first to report the Warriors will re-sign popular center JaVale McGee. The team also gives a training camp invite to a Cleveland, Antonius Cleveland, who played for Portland this month in the Summer League. He'll be added to camp. Story number two, the A's swept in Toronto in ignominious fashion, getting hit with a walk-off grand slam in the 10th, losing to the Blue Jays 7-3. Liam Hendricks walked the bases loaded before Steve Pierce ended it. Kendrys Morales homered twice. Two Blue Jays ejected, as was the manager in the fourth inning. The A's come home hosting Minnesota tonight. Story number three, the Giants relegated to spoiler role in the National League West, trailing the Dodgers by 31.5 games, and they'll try to slow down the SoCal juggernaut tonight. Giants and Dodgers, game one of three from Chavez Ravine. Matt Moore goes up against Alex Wood. After the three-game set, it'll be the Giants versus the A's over four games back here in the Bay Bridge Series. That's your update. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the NBA champion, Golden State Warriors. It's 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Dibs. Let's jump right into it. According to Adam Schefter from ESPN, the Oakland Raiders are expected to cut offensive tackle Austin Howard. Lowe, we're not even a week into camp. How can a decision like this be out in the open so quickly?
It's simple, Joe. You got to realize veterans don't report to today. So how would you cut a guy and you haven't even started camp? It's simple. Austin Howard understands what Jack Del Rio wants and understands what this team, they're probably going in a new direction. So what does he do? He tells his representation, hey, this is what's going on. They don't even have me penciled in as a starter. They've said that it's not even going to be me. So he asks to be traded or cut. And I think the Raiders are going to do that, accommodate him and say, hey, look, thank you. And they'll probably cut him.
So this is a business move on Howard's behalf. Yes. He realizes he's going up against Marshall Newhouse for that right tackle job. And it looks as if now that Newhouse has such an edge, Howard's saying to himself, you know what? I don't want to get put in a situation where if I lose this battle late in camp after so many decisions have been made, I end up on the market and I can't find a job. Let's go ahead and get out there now.
Absolutely. Get out there now. There's 31 other teams around the leagues. And you know, Joe, and just Dibs, so do you, that tackles are a premium. It's hard to find good tackles. And he's a serviceable tackle. So he's a guy that you know, without a doubt, Joe, the phone will be ringing.
You do wish to some extent that he would have been here to at least push Newhouse, right? Because Newhouse is new to the club. And this is an individual where these camp battles, they force the best out of you. When you have to compete this early on, day in, day out, on the field, in the meeting rooms, now it's kind of as if you're Marshall Newhouse, you can look in the mirror and go, looks like the job's mine.
Yeah, but I think that once you're an athlete and you're a guy that you know you have a job, your job is now to keep the job. Your job is, you see they already had 3-4 tackles that were going to compete for that particular position. So, Newhouse is still going to work hard. Guy understands what kind of team that he's on. And expectations is really high, especially when think about the guys you have. You got Penn, Hudson, Gabe Jackson, KO. When you're blocking on that offensive line and you're the weak link, hell, you're going to pick it up. So I think that no matter what, because of this line is so dominant and your people are looking at you as a weak link, you're going to pick up your performance.
Good stuff. Now, this story broke last night, and it broke courtesy of a website, pewterreport.com. Tampa Bay Buccaneers website. They've been in business a long time. They do a really nice job. Met a lot of these guys back in 2008 when I got into the business. So because it's a smaller site and it happened later last night, a lot of people didn't see this. Apparently, Super Bowl winning head coach John Gruden is giving some serious consideration to jumping back into the coaching market. Here's a quote from an interview with PewterReport.com. I've met with several people. I won't deny that. People just about every year I talk about coming back to coach. I'm not in here every day at 4:30 or 4 in the morning watching pinball, you know? I'm preparing myself to come back. I am. Every day, I'm preparing to come back. It helps me in my broadcasting, and I think if you lose that edge, you can't come back unless you are totally wired with college football, personnel, schemes, the CBA, how people are practicing, trends, you know? You've got to stay on top of all that stuff. Dibs, to hear that news, year after year, there's speculation about John Gruden. Do you think next year is finally the year he's back on the sidelines?
I do, and I actually thought that this year might be the year, but when you looked at the openings that did pop open, none of them really were that appetizing, other than the San Francisco job, which I don't think that he was going to be the right fit at the right time. When you look at his situation with his kids, he's always said that he wanted to be able to watch them play their high school careers, and I believe they're all going to be through high school, if not they already are now. And so once you get to that point, you start to think about one more last run at it, because he's probably, 50 or early 50s right in there. You could still put in another good solid 10 or 15 years back in the NFL. He's already got all the money he's going to need. He's already proven that he can be successful. It's almost a no-pressure second run at it.
And you realize if it doesn't work, you're right back in the broadcast booth at probably $3, $4, $5 million a year.
Yeah.
Low, 10 years out of the game. He last coached in 2008. He's been out almost 10 years. How hard is it going to be to come back from that?
It's interesting, Joe. This guy will be 54 here in a couple months. He's a coach that you watch him, you see his Gruden coach and his camps and all the different things that he do, the quarterback things. And he's staying around the game. He understands about Y2, Spider, Go, Banana. He's saying all the right things. And you listen at Gruden to watch this guy when he talks about the quarterback position. He still knows the game. That is not going to be the issue. Cover four is always going to be cover four. Quarter, 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 quarter. Eight's always going to be quarter, quarter, half. These coverages, 2, 3, 4, 1, they're immutable. They're going to be the same. So is the game changed that much for a coach? You're going to know where the windows are, and he's an offensive genius. So that part I'm not worried about. It's just, can he keep up with the times, the kids, the different things that are going on, how people are changing, the way that, you know, now it's no more, you're looking at it with paper, it's, you
tablets.
Know, it's tablets and all.
How's his tablet game?
How's his tablet game? All the different things that are surrounding it, you know, so those are the things that you'd have to worry about as a head coach coming back onto the scene.
As Dibs mentioned during the update, JaVale McGee is back with the Golden State Warriors. That is now 15 guaranteed contracts for the Warriors. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a full roster. Job well done to Bob Myers and company over at Oracle Arena. They have had a hell of a summer. All right. So John Gruden, it's starting to feel real. If he's coming back, where's he going? There are several appealing teams with coaches on the hot seat. But we might not even be looking at the right league. We'll explain that next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Happy Friday. If you're just joining us, if you're just waking up, if you missed the nugget last night, John Gruden, broadcaster extraordinaire from ESPN, in an interview with the website PewterReport.com, which covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Gruden has that itch to get back to coaching. The timing is interesting. And as we look around the National Football League, which is where we'll begin, were Gruden to make a comeback next year, to put the flag in the ground and say, I'm open for business, where's the likely landing spot, Loniel?
He's got a lot of landing spots. When you look at the state of the NFL, especially with coaches that's probably ran their course, Joe, he's got his pick of the litter. And let's start with the place that you know what he is. He's a quarterback guru, and they say that he's one of the best quarterback coaches out there. I'll tell you a place that he would love to be, and I guarantee you this place would throw a lot of money at him. And you guys know this young man. He loves this young man. You're talking about no further than the Indianapolis Colts with Andrew Luck. You look at Andrew Luck, a Stanford kid, smart guy. Gruden would love to be involved with that young man. I could see him being right there in Indy, Joe.
Indy's one, and there are some, we see this every year. 4, 5, 6 teams are going to turn over head coaches. Indianapolis is very compelling because if you remember, Gruden's initial transition in the NFL went from Oakland to where?
Tampa Bay.
Tailor-made elite defense already in place. He's an offensive mind. He doesn't have to worry about that side of the ball. He comes in. Monty Kiffin, Lane's father, is going to hold that down. He's going to develop the offensive side. Wham, bam, there's a Super Bowl. Dibs, Indianapolis is a very intriguing landing destination. As you search through all the teams that have coaches on the hot seat, what stands out to you as a spot for John Gruden?
Well, I was kind of trying to anticipate what Lowe was going to say, and I thought you were going to go with Pittsburgh because I know that you're kind of down on Mike Tomlin, and I think when you look at the lineage of Pittsburgh head coaches, what, they've had 3 head coaches in 50 years or something?
It's insane.
If they were going to move on from Mike Tomlin, it would have to be to a figure like John Gruden, and he has a quarterback toward the end of his career. He could draft a quarterback that he could then mentor. That would be a spot where I think he would be an absolutely perfect fit stylistically as a person and as a coach. So I think Indy is definitely a better, more likely choice. But just when you were talking, Low, I was thinking, man, Pittsburgh might be the spot because you've always been somebody thinking that Mike Tomlin might be in trouble if they have a down year.
And he can just work well with, think about the young Luck. These two can grow together. Luck has another 10 years left in the league. You look at a guy like Big Ben, he doesn't have much left in the tank. You got to look at this Gruden. He wants a guy that's already polished, a guy he can just put a little bit more on and help him out a little bit more. And that would be a great guy for him to go ahead and continue to develop with him. So I think that Luck would be a perfect ideal for him.
I think those are great suggestions. I think the New York Jets are fascinating because he'd go against Belichick and Todd Bowles is on the hot seat. Plus, if the Jets tank out this year like we all know they're going to, you're going to have the pick of the litter from a very good quarterback class. But I think it's already been determined. I think if he's coming back, the timing of this interview, of this announcement, tells you everything you need to know about where he's going to go. Indianapolis is a great idea. Pittsburgh, fascinating in the AFC North. But there's a team that's already on the rocks. There's a team that's already in trouble. It's a monster destination. It's a ton of money. It's the biggest spotlight imaginable. It's the Dallas Cowboys. Gruden sees the turmoil now. Wow. Zeke Elliott's likely headed for a suspension. You've got a turnover of 5 starters on the defensive end of the ball. You've got a very young, intriguing quarterback prospect in Dak Prescott. All the money in the world, all the glamour, the number one valued sports property in the world. Not Manchester United, nothing in the soccer realm, nothing in the hoops realm. It's the Dallas Cowboys. Garrett has had his time. Garrett has not gotten the job done. And the way they flamed out at home against the Packers last year, you know Jerry Jones, in his 70s, has had enough of this. He wants at least one more Super Bowl. That is the splashiest name you could bring in. I think Gruden right now, this is all calculated timing. He sees the Zeke news. He sees every little thing that's happening in Dallas, and he might as well just send up a flare. I'm thinking about coming back. You don't think Jerry Jones has already heard about this report? You don't think Jerry Jones has already had at least one conversation with somebody in his family about the idea of John Gruden should things go south for Big D this year?
Yeah, I think that'd be phenomenal. I think there's some other teams that would catch his eye. I think that he would like that, but I just don't know how him and Jarrah would get along when you look at two guys that love that camera that they're going to put in front of these two individuals. And you know Jerry wants a guy that's a yes guy, a guy. You look at Jason Carrot Top, he's not a guy that's out in the forefront. You never really see him. You know who's going to do most of the talking. And Big D, it's Jarrah. You think about Jarrah with Zeke Elliott. Think about how he always is the one of the guys that's going to come to the forefront. I don't know if Chucky's going to let that happen, Joe. Is he going to be the head coach? I just don't see Chucky letting that happen at all times.
The Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet is up on our website, 957thegame.com. Feel free to weigh in. Will John Gruden be coaching again in 2018? Dibs, we've kicked around several options, but I think we might be missing one realm entirely of where Gruden could be looking.
And I guess that is going back to college, because when you look at the college landscape, obviously there's, what, four or five times more jobs if you just look at the D1 level and the FBS level. And you can't help but think with his enthusiasm and his ability to encourage, and think about the recruiting that he could do. If you're a quarterback, knowing that he's mentored so many of these pro quarterbacks, would be a natural fit. But you start to look a little bit deeper, and this report you talked about from pewterreport.com, which is the Tampa Bay Bucks fan website, he says college may not be exactly the best destination. He said he went and visited Nick Saban. He visited Chip Kelly at Oregon, and he was determined to be a college coach. And then he said, quote, "I realized if I became a college coach, I would probably have you on probation within 4 or 5 weeks. All the recruiting, the Facebook, the texting, the emails, all that stuff." He says he'd probably have you in real deep, deep trouble if he was working the college game, because you only get, what, 15 hours a week to practice, and he's used to 15 hours a day.
Lo, imagine being the number one recruit in the country, some of the coaches that would be walking through your front door if Chucky's back in the college ranks.
It'd be absolutely phenomenal for any young man to have Chucky walk through the front door, and then next hour it's Saban, next hour it's Harbaugh. Think about those three men, and you know, look at Ohio State, Urban Meyer. There are some phenomenal coaches out there.
Saban, Urban Meyer, Jim Harbaugh, and Chucky. Coming through your front door to try and recruit you.
You flip a coin. You're almost to a point where you flip a coin, and you got to look at it. All those who would be the leading, if you're a quarterback, a young man, is to think you want to play in the next level, aspire to, especially as the quarterback position, it'd be Chucky. You look at Harbaugh, he doesn't run necessarily sometimes a conventional offense, but you know Chucky does. You know that he's a guy that really he has his quarterback coaching what he does out there for the National Football League. Guys, young men, when he walk into their living room, Joe, with their parents there, without a doubt, he'll be a hard sell.
If he comes back, and it's to the NFL, my number one pick's the Dallas Cowboys. You guys threw out some great choices as well. Dibs saying Pittsburgh, fascinating. You saying Indianapolis, new regime there with the front office. Chris Ballard, Ed Dodds have taken over as the top two guys there. You'd have Andrew Luck. We all know how much Chucky loves Andrew Luck. I want to throw a dark horse out there as well. Green Bay. Mike McCarthy's been there a while. And there's chatter that starts every year later in the season that you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. When it's all said and done, one of the best to ever play the game. And you went to one Super Bowl. Now you won it, but you went to one Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. You're going to have Aaron Rodgers for what, 12, 15 years? Mm. And you're going to get one Super Bowl out of it. At some point, someone's going to look at Mike McCarthy and think to themselves, we might need to consider an upgrade. And if Chucky's sitting out there, that might be the upgrade.
Especially when he said in this interview that maybe his biggest regret, one of his biggest life regrets, was passing on him when he was at Tampa in the 05 draft with the number 5 pick. So for him to have a chance to go back and now coach Aaron Rodgers and at the peak of his performance, that would make everything right in his own mind.
Hit us up on social media at 957 The Game on Twitter. We'd love to hear your guesses for where John Gruden would be coaching next should he choose to move out of the broadcasting booth next season. Well, it happened. A former Jim Harbaugh quarterback signed with the Ravens and John Harbaugh, much like we thought yesterday. Or did we? The missile, Quadri Ishmael, to talk about what just took place in Baltimore next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
He is a Super Bowl champion, 10-year NFL veteran, and current Baltimore Ravens analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at Qadri Ishmael. It's Qadri Ishmael with Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Missile, how are you this morning? Thanks for your time.
Joe, Lowe, and Dibs, what up?
Qadri.
Thanks for getting up. We appreciate the interview time this morning. Let's start in Baltimore. The injury to Joe Flacco, what's the concern level like amongst the organization with the time frame being possibly somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 6 weeks that he'll be nursing this?
Well, you know, first of all, they were saying that it was a scenario where they rest him a week, then he can kind of come back, and it's just a soreness in his back. Apparently, the MRI, from what I've been told, hadn't been revealing of any disc issue that is of any significance. So, you know, I'm like, all right, well, after a week's time, we'll kind of feel it out and see where he's at and then kind of go from there. So, you know, a lot to do about nothing. I think the biggest thing is because of the fact that the name Colin Kaepernick had been thrown out there, this took on even a larger national platform or view in other people's eyes than here in Baltimore.
But let's go to that then quickly. David Olson, I think if you would have asked anybody around the country yesterday who the Ravens might sign, I don't think anyone, including Mr. and Mrs. Olson, would have said David Olson. Why would the team not at least give a look to Colin Kaepernick? Do you think there's still some fear over the protest stance from last year?
Well, I think when you look at training camp, it's looking at your 53-man roster. And who are guys that are going to be what we call camp bodies, and then there are guys that you really know have a legitimate shot to make your ball club. So you got about maybe, you know, five or six guys tops that have a legitimate shot of making your ball club. Other guys are just camp bodies, and, you know, they're hoping that, you know, their preseason games, they're going to look really good. If they look good in the preseason, then it'll translate over into another club potentially picking them up, or they can go on a practice squad. So with all that said, if Joe, like the Ravens are saying, is only going to be gone for just a week and at most, you know, 9 to 10 days he's going to be back, well, you already got your backup in Ryan Mallett. You already know what he can do. You feel really comfortable that he knows the offense extremely well. Colin, in the eye of everyone else, is a guy that is not a camp body. He is a guy that would be put on a 53-man roster. It's not that he would be looked at as a pariah or someone that is going to stir up trouble, but rather, you know, if Joe comes back, you got your backup. You only, for the most part, carry two quarterbacks anyway. So why entertain a guy unless Joe is just flat out injured and is going to miss a significant period of time? You just need a camp arm, so Olson is it, not to, you know, basically, I think, in a way, disrespect the talent level of a Colin Kaepernick by just bringing him in to throw some passes and, oh, by the way, thanks, but, you know, no thanks, we're done.
Yeah, it's just interesting, Miss Alch, your boy Lo Neal here, and my perspective is just when you see 64 starting quarterbacks and backup quarterbacks of 32 teams and, you know, 32 backups, so you have 64 guys. It's just hard for me to fathom that Colin is not a two or even a three. It's just interesting just to watch how the league itself, or it just people don't want to necessarily touch him. Arizona, Bruce Arians, a personal friend of mine. You look at Carson Palmer, 37 years old, one hit away from an injury, and you see Stanton, the guys are backups. Just interesting. They say you love your, you never know, you never want to know. You never want your backup to play, but you never not want to have a good one. So it's just interesting that he hasn't had a job. But at any rate, the running back situation there in Baltimore and the offensive tackles getting hurt, is this Raven team, is it possibly still a Super Bowl contending team, or is just too many injuries too early already?
You know, just really quickly, as far as going back to Colin, I think you're absolutely right, Lo. I think the one thing, though, too, you know, I think there's some legitimate play, on-the-field play, that has been inconsistent with Colin. And, yes, to your point, is he better than those the majority of those backups and, for the most part, a strong number of starting quarterbacks? Yup. But from what coaches see, from a pure football standpoint, is he able to fit into what we do, or do we got to change to fit into what he does? To the off-field stuff, I think to the interesting point that you're making, yep, absolutely, that's the elephant in the room, that the team as a whole, the front office, they don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole. So you got both things working against, I think, Colin, in the grand scheme of it all. To the point of the Ravens running back situation with Kenneth Dixon going down, that was a issue that I thought, you know, was going to be a minor one until obviously they, you know, did the surgery and the meniscus and all that, and he's done. But I will say this, when you look at this Ravens ball club over the last few years, it seems as though they've been on paper really good, but then they would get these rash of injuries. So it is kind of concerning because you don't want to, you know, you felt like you had a really good quality depth of a team, but now you look at it and it's like, man, you know, right when you're starting it off, you're getting, you know, some guys banged up. So, you know, I think this team, if healthy, has that strong opportunity from top to bottom to really be a contending AFC North championship type team that would then put them back into the playoff mix.
Super Bowl champ, 10-year NFL veteran, current Baltimore Ravens analyst. Find him on Twitter at Qadri Ishmael. It's Qadri Ishmael with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Missile, thank you so much for your time this morning. We appreciate the insights. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Have a great weekend. He and his brother, man.
Can fly. Put wings on him, they can fly.
Those are two of the coolest nicknames in collegiate football history. The Rocket and Missile.
Yeah.
Come on now. All right. Yesterday, there was a lot that we sorted through regarding CTE. Lo Neal was on his game like he's never been before. How do we educate the youth? How do we educate the coaches? How do we educate ourselves? Today, we have a different question for you that involves the youth as well. What little level of public criticism is acceptable for a minor? Some of you may be driving around saying none whatsoever. Some may be saying, well, college football players are in the national spotlight. But what if you're a high school player? What if you're LaMelo Ball? Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I believe today's musical theme is, what are we going with, boys? Summer music? This was in the summer? My God. This was back when I watched, Total Request Live on MTV? Where this would just sit up there in the top 10 for just what appeared to be 5 years. It felt like 5 years, Dibs.
Couldn't stop Waterfall. Don't go chasing waterfalls, Lo. You know that.
Lo, you ever chase a waterfall?
All the time. I still remember her name.
Joe Lo and Dibs, great to have you in on this Friday. We got into some ethical stuff yesterday, and the feedback from you, the listener, was tremendous regarding CTE as parents, as coaches, administrators, counselors, advisors. What do we do? What do we do with the youth? How do we advise them if they want to play football? Do we allow them to play football? Do we try to steer them in a different direction? It really took off on us. Today, Dibs presented something in the morning meeting that led into another great question, and we were going to throw this out to you as well. 888-957-9570. What level of criticism, if any, is acceptable in the public spotlight when it comes to a minor or amateur? What I mean by that, college football players, high school athletes, there's so much focus on these superstars or soon-to-be superstars that sometimes we forget they're still kids. This stems from a game that took place in Las Vegas two nights ago, an AAU showdown between LaMelo Ball, the younger brother of Lonzo Ball, the son of LeVar Ball, and Zion Williamson, widely regarded as the best high school prospect in the country. When all was said and done, Zion Williamson's SC Supreme team beat the Big Baller squad 104-92. But this game was chaos. Chaos. They almost couldn't play it. So many people showed up. People stacked six rows deep. Damian Lillard, Thon Maker, Jamal Murray, Andrew Wiggins, Lonzo Ball, all of them were in attendance. LeBron James is working out with Derrick Rose in Vegas. He wanted to come by, and he was outside in the car and realized what the situation looked like. He had to leave. He couldn't put himself in that scenario. This was a monster game for two key players. And Dibs, as you watch some of the highlights, we can't help but be inundated with how the game played out and, to some extent, a level of criticism.
A lot of criticism for LaMelo Ball, of course, and it's not only criticism for how he plays, which is he likes to shoot the ball, Joe. He likes to shoot from distances that really only Steph Curry shoots from, but he's part of the Big Baller brand, and because his dad is such a blowhard, no, he's out there, you know, talking all the time and promoting the brand, that the kid, to an extent, gets caught up in it. His dad's his AAU coach, and to have hundreds of people at this AAU game for a kid who's not even 16 years old yet, it's a lot of scrutiny for a young man.
He had a game not too long ago where someone made a compilation video. This is LaMelo Ball we're talking about, the younger brother of Lonzo Ball. He's going to be headed to UCLA when he graduates. It was a compilation video of all his misses from a game. This thing goes on for 45 seconds to a minute because he takes so many shots every game, where it was just miss after miss, bad shot after bad shot. And this thing went viral. Oh, take a look at LaMelo Ball. How many bad looks, selfish basketball player, and on and on and on went the criticism. And then you sit there as you're watching it, and this is what I caught myself doing. I'm watching it thinking, wow, he really jacked that thing up from a mile away. He's a kid. I don't need to publicly say anything about this on Twitter. Lo, where do you land on that? Because you've been in the public spotlight for quite some time, both as a wrestler and as a football player. You know what it was like in college down at Fresno. You also know what it was like having a son who was a highly recruited football prospect out of Texas and ended up at Purdue. What level of criticism, if any, is acceptable here?
Well, I really believe, Joe, and I hope that you got to have balance and you got to have parents. You got to have a supporting cast around you that's going to make sure your skin is thickened. Because we live in a world that's rapidly changing and so many different people have their own take and their own perspective about different things. And you're going to hear the noise. People are going to be talking. I remember watching, who didn't watch it, but my grandpa was telling me that, you know, when Yogi Berra played for the Yankees and, you know, the Hank Aaron was with the Atlanta Braves, and Hank Aaron was up to bat and Yogi was the catcher, and he's catching, he's telling him, Hank, you got to turn your bat for the writing is to you, because if you don't have it turned away from you, you usually hit the ball and you make it break your bat. So he's in Hank Aaron's ear, and Hank just doesn't pay him any mind, and he swings, hits a home run, rounds first, second, comes home, pass home plate, and said, turn around, hey, Yoga. He said, I didn't come here to read. So sometimes,
nice.
Sometimes you're going to have a lot of noise. And these young men and these young kids, you got to realize – Ball family, he's a lot of noise. Like, he's a blowhard. So there's all kind of people are going to be saying all kinds of things. You just got to understand, he's not here to read, to listen to what everyone is saying. He's there to play basketball because that's what the Big Ball brand wants to be.
You know, on one hand, you could make the case that this will toughen you up, thicken the skin a little bit. But on the other hand, as a society, we continue to just push the line of acceptability, the line of decorum, back further and further and further. I mean, you saw the story yesterday out of the White House, right? We have a new White House communications director. You saw the comments he gave on the record to the New Yorker. That's insane. Comments like that have never come out of the White House before, but that's become acceptable today. Now, no matter what side you land on for that is irrelevant. The point is we keep pushing it back further and further. LaMelo Ball is someone that should be encouraged. He's someone that should be advised. He's someone that should be coached up. Because at the end of the day, Dibs, how old is he?
He'll be 16 in a month,
he's
Joe.
He's 15 years old.
He's younger than my son. And I know as you get older, it's going to be to the point where the pro athletes are going to all be younger than my kids, as it is now that every pro athlete in the major sports is all younger than you now. That's when you know you're getting old, Lo. When you look around any and all leagues, it's like, dang, there's no one even close in age, but I digest, as we like to say. The kid's not even 16 years of age. You look at his Instagram, he's got 2.1 million followers.
Oh, really?
2.1 million followers for this kid.
They're already a brand, though, Joe. That's the thing you got to realize.
It doesn't mean that he has to put himself out there for some of the hate speech that goes on his Instagram and some of the comments. That's not something that he should have to face.
He shouldn't, but this is the world we live in. LeBron James would even, he turned around and left. Think about for a little high school AAU game. You can't even get a seat. It's not because of how good of a player these guys are. It's to watch the spectacle. You wouldn't even know, be talking about it if his dad didn't put this stage and set this up for this. They have been destined, or they have been because of what their father's doing. This guy needs to write a book. Look what the brand, if you can play a little bit, and they're decent players, we're not saying they're not. But look it, a lot of kids didn't even come out, get this type of hype because of what this dad is doing and putting them on that stage. So people are going to criticize him. They shouldn't. He's 14, 15 years old. I get it. But it happens. It happens. Just because it's done publicly, you played ball, Joe, where the coach said, "Hey, foreign ball, man, throw the ball to the hit," and talk about you. You're not going to jump on you and say, "You got to hit that out route." Got all on your butt. Said it publicly. Maybe said it. But it's a different era. Now people go to social networks. So it happened. Coaches got on me. So people talked about us. You know, you played. You got dips. You played sports. People got on you. Even it's just the way it is.
You're right. You're completely right. But that's in so much more of a controlled, private setting.
It
might be a coach getting on you in front of your teammates, right? And even then, the coach has to be smart enough to know which players can handle that and which players can't. I think about just my own development. I was so self-conscious of everything growing up, through high school, even through college. I didn't really come into my own at all, into my skin, into any sort of level of confidence until I went to law school. I mean, I was 23 at the time, and even then, totally immature. Wouldn't have been able to handle anything like this. There's no denying that wherever you land on LeVar Ball, what he did has benefited his family. There is no way
Without
you can deny that. Lonzo Ball getting drafted number 2 overall, maybe he ends up with the Lakers if you never hear of LeVar. Maybe. But he forced the action. The father forced the action to the point where L.A. at some point had to think to themselves, if we pass on this kid, what happens? They didn't have that conversation about anyone else. They had it about him. If we pass on this kid, what happens? Because everyone knew who he was. How many people were familiar with Josh Jackson, right? How many people were truly familiar with Markelle Fultz coming out? Maybe you knew a little bit about the guy and watched a few minutes of him hoop. You knew a lot more about Lonzo Ball. And there's a reason the Lakers have sold so many season tickets coming into this upcoming season. I mean, that is the hottest ticket in LA right now. They got a football team there that's entering just its second year of existence in that city. They got another football team that's just moving in for its first year. And the loser Lakers are the hottest ticket in town because of Lonzo Ball and the hype that surrounds that. But again, you have to ask yourself, is that the right thing for the child? Does the child, especially LaMelo, deserve the criticism he gets just because he jacks up a few ill-advised shots?
And it's ruthless. If you look at some of the social media stuff, and it's also the scrutiny, Joe, you can look at what he did. He was 13 for 31 in their second game, their victory over Play Hard, Play Smart.
Where do these names come from?
The team obviously didn't play hard, play defense when you give up 111 points in a 32-minute game, but that's neither here nor there. The fact that you can see his stats, you can look at video, somebody puts together a compilation of all of his misses, and, he had a 92-point game in high school, and he was criticized for maybe shooting too much and not passing. And I understand that the fact that his dad is putting all of them out there makes them open to some criticism, but you have to remember the kid's only 15 years old. How is this going to affect his psyche?
You know what? I don't think it will, because they tweet, Instagram, the stuff that our kids, that they're exposed to now. I don't know how the next 30, 40 years, I don't know where we can go.
How many child stars end up to some extent screwed up because of all the fame and attention they get at such a young age?
A lot of them. Joe, but you guys just think, looking at this kid, my daughter and stuff, they follow people that have 2-3 million followers, and they're not even athletes. They're not but they're a star in dancing. It's crazy how the world we live in, they're just regular people. People are self-made in this world, and they want the attention. They thrive for it, and parents put them right there to make them thrive for it. I mean, look no further than Mike Tyson. Guy was 17 years old, knocking fools out. Look at the media attention. Did he make him crazy? Probably. He was still a little crazy anyway, but
I'm not sure it was the media that flipped him. I'm pretty sure he was who he was from start to finish. Do you remember that comment he made about how he used to punch old ladies in the face to steal their groceries?
Yeah.
That's what he used to do when he was growing up in Harlem.
But that's my point. He was 15, 16 years old, knocking out men.
Yeah.
17, knocking out men, Joe. Beating guns up. I mean, that's crazy.
I'll tell you another thing. If you want to talk about unfair criticism, there's a conversation we have to have, at least for a couple minutes, because there's a lot to get to with what went down in Baltimore, the news regarding John Gruden. There is so much we've got on the docket today. The Niners opened up camp. There's plenty of news coming out of there. But there was a story yesterday. You could make the case. A legend is being treated very, very unfairly. We're going to have that when we return in 1 minute's time, along with $1,000 to give away. It's Joe, it's Lo, it's Dibs. Happy Friday, everybody. 95.7, The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.